do have a lot of material, but I have not really organized it so much for this presentation. So sometimes it will rattle a little bit in terms of finding the right slides and things like that. That shouldn't be a problem. So let us begin and chant the invocation which we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai Jai Sit Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
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 Jai Jai Sit Chaitanya Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sit Chaitanya Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sit Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
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 Jai Advaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
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 So, the slides are from a seminar or from a course that I've been teaching in Radhadesh, which is a college. And there we have 20 hours to cover the CC, so it's really a different kind of approach. I mean, you have lots of time. And so today we are making a short selection. But the title is nice. As the Chaitanya Charitamrita provides us our identity, more than any other book, more than any other scripture, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually giving us an idea of what we are doing. Because we are here trying to be Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaudiya is sometimes referring to Bengal. Of course, one can say Gauda. India is divided in the middle in Madhya Pradesh by a range of mountains, which were known as the Vindhya Mountains. And on the south side of the Vindhya Mountains are the Pancha Dravida Desh, or the five major areas which are referring to the Dravidian people. Then the northern part of India, north of the Vindhya Mountains, is known as the Panchagoda. Panchagoda area, and that basically covers all of North India, from Kurukshetra all the way even into Bangladesh, which is now no longer India, but that was up to the Malaya Hills, which is a country nowadays known as Malaysia, as the Australians might pronounce it. There we see that the Panchagoda area is a big area. When we say Goda, the capital of the kings of Bengal was also known as Goda. And particular in Bengal, the area of Mayapur is also known as Goda. What Goda or Gaudiya, and coming from Gauda, what Gauda actually refers to, whether it refers to all of North India, whether it refers to Bengal, or whether it refers to Mayapur, different scholars may have different ideas. But generally, Gaudiya Vaishnava means, you're Bengali Vaishnava. So, the Bengali Vaishnava is Bengali Vaishnavas are particularly meant to be somehow or other influenced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are Of course, sometimes they call all Vaishnavas from Bengal Gaudiyas. And they say, but then again in Bengal there were many Vaishnavas that came up that were not really followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We find that the movement developed in various places. Lord Chaitanya appeared in Goda, in Mayapur, in the district of Nadia. And Lord Chaitanya there preached for some years. Lord Chaitanya subsequently went to Puri after taking sannyas. And thus, there's also a huge development in Orissa of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And he sent Rupa and Sanatan to Vrindavan. And they developed Vrindavan. And therefore, Vrindavan is another hub of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we say Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we're talking about the followers of Mahaprabhu. So they are in Vrindavan, in Puri, and in Navadvipa. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he had been in Gaya, and he was initiated by his spiritual master Iswar Puri, from that day on, he began to display his ecstatic symptoms. It is described that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received initiation from Iswar Puri, and initiation meant he received the Gayatri Mantra. So they said on the way back, he came through a place called Kanaya Natashala. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Kanaya Natashala, there he sat down and he chanted his Gayatri Mantra. And when he was chanting these Gayatri Mantras, he came to the Gopal Gayatri, which is one of the Gayatri Mantras that is chanted in the line of the Gaudiya. Or the Balamala Gaudiya or something like that. So as he was checking the Gopal Gayatri, he suddenly saw Gopal. He actually had a direct darshan of Lord Gopal and he became totally ecstatic. And then the next moment, Gopal disappeared. So it is there in Kanaya Natashala that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of separation, this particular mood of separation, which is what his sampradaya is famous for, it is there where that mood of separation was born or first displayed. And then, yes, he came back to Navadvipa and he had changed. He was just a new man. Everyone was amazed because Nimai Pandit was the famous scholar, and suddenly Nimai had become a Vaishnava, and everyone was shocked, you know. So everyone was allowing him to make some advancements. So the devotees would allow Nimai to serve them, Bhakta Nimai, and he was serving all the devotees and helping them. But the way he was doing it, he was just doing it with so much enthusiasm, giving everything, that very soon it became clear to everybody that he had by far surpassed them. Never before had they seen anyone with such ecstasy. Still, although Lord Chaitanya may have been about 16 or 17 when he went to Gaya, and at that time received his initiation, so, and he didn't take sannyas until 24, so he still had substantial time in Jagannath Puri, at least 7 years or so, or in Navadvipa, 7 years in Navadvipa, before going to Puri. So in those 7 years in Navadvipa, the Sankirtan movement did begin, but it never fully spread all over Bengal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri, and he sent Nityananda back. And Nityananda came back, and that's the whole story itself, and Nityananda started preaching in Bengal, and specifically his preaching was based on kirtan. And it was kirtan, ecstatic kirtan. That was the main thing. And a wave of ecstatic kirtan just washed over Bengal and swept up everyone, and people became ecstatic and joined, and the whole thing was on ecstasy. And little children cried too much, and we cannot carry on. I'm so sorry. So anyway, so in Bengal, Krishna consciousness started to spread by the ecstatic preaching of Lord Nityananda and his followers in the kirtan. But there was not so much philosophy. So there was also a lot of Vaishnavas that were speculating and that were just doing their own activities. And the result was that in Bengal, so many Abba Sampradayas came up, or groups of devotees who were following all kinds of nonsense, and sometimes it was quite extreme. For example, it even went to the point where they said that in some Sahaja groups, they said that Krishna is manifesting through the male, and Radha, the Ladini Shakti, is manifesting through the female. And therefore, there can be unity, and this is a way that Radha and Krishna manifest themselves. And in some of these traditions, there were even the night before marriage, they would offer a young girl to the guru, so that then the bridegroom could marry Guru Prasad the next day. Yeah, so just to have an idea how extreme it went in some places. We have to close that door, I'm afraid. I mean, what to do? Because we love them. We do. But we also love the door. It's hard to concentrate on them. So. Yes. Yeah, you can check it out. Yeah,
I just had to get the cocktails without making you scream.
Okay. There you go. Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, I need a little piece, otherwise I can't concentrate. So anyway, then, Lord Chaitanya, his movement spread all over Bengal, and there were some bogus groups, seriously bogus. We will not get into the details of those groups. We'll, after these little points, I think you had enough already. Guru Prasad, yes, that's a bit too much. So anyway, so we're in Vrindavan. The six Goswamis, and around the six Goswamis, a whole group of scholars developed, and they wrote basically the books, because Lord Chaitanya didn't write any books, eight prayers, six astaka. So the six Goswamis provided the books. Like, without books, how do you have uniform teachings? We know that after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, the next generation, Srinivas and Narottama Acharya, took the books from the Goswamis and brought them to Bengal. And it is said that there was, after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu, there was a huge festival in Kateri, which is now in Bangladesh, just in Bangladesh. And there in Kateri, in this festival, there was an amazing kirtan by Narottam Das Thakur, and everyone saw the Panchatattva personally present. And it was so transcendental. All the great Vaishnavas were there, and it was an amazing festival, and people were just crying in ecstasy. And then five major deities were installed, Radha and Krishna, which later were like placed in temples in different positions, so to establish the movement of Lord Chaitanya more seriously. And then Narottam and Srinivas had arranged that many thousands of manuscripts had been hand-copied of the books of the Goswamis. And all these hand-copied books, they were given to all the devotees. And at that time, the devotees, for the first time, they had actually the books of the Goswamis. And they received books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, which we are now studying, and Upadesamrita. It was like the cream. It was like practically unheard secret teachings, Nectar of Instruction, Upadesamrita. These kind of books, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, these were the books that everyone received. And everyone, in that way, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became also more uniform in Bengal. Today, in the Royal Asiatic Society in Calcutta, one can still find many of the manuscripts from that time, to provide evidence that really this happened at that time. So anyway, that's a little bit of background information. And we can see that it's interesting because where have we heard these names before? Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. Was it in this room? Could it have been that we even studied these books a little bit, possibly, for those who went to some of those seminars? And interesting that it were those books particularly that provided the identity to our movement. So the theme of this seminar is to provide our identity as what it means to be a Gaudiya Vaishnava, what it means to be a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is important to us and what is not, that we find particularly in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rupa Goswami, who is one of the principal writers for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he provided us with an outline of the process that we are following. So Rupa Goswami, I think with the door closed it can be opened again. Rupa Goswami, he provided for us the process by which we can make spiritual advancement. Now, in the Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the division is made between three aspects, namely Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So, Sadhana Bhakti, devotional service in practice, Bhava Bhakti, devotional service in ecstasy, and Prema Bhakti, devotional service in pure love. So in the initial, for most of us, it's all about Sadhana Bhakti, devotional service in practice. Bhava is a little bit more advanced. So devotional service in practice, those who are following Sadhana Bhakti, they are known as sadhakas. Sadhakas. So the sadhakas, they are the ones that are practicing devotional service. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is particularly showing us how to be a sadhaka. On one particular plane trip, an Italian Airlines, there was the old-fashioned big movie screen in the plane, and my seat was right opposite of it. I was sitting less than 1 meter away from the movie screen, and then Spider-Man came on. And try and chant Java with Spider-Man right on the it was difficult. time is of a difficult balance, I must say. And, yes, so Spider-Man did a few extraordinary things. Absolutely. There was a train, and it was about to go off a bridge, and then Spider-Man made his huge web, and he caught the train, and somehow or other saved the day. And with great difficulty, he managed to stop the train that was storming almost over the edge. And the web was breaking and breaking and breaking, and Spider-Man was getting exhausted and making more and more webs, and with the maximum of his strength, the train stopped. The nose was already hanging over the edge. The Spider-Man movie, typical, I think. You know what I'm talking about. So, well, let's just for a moment think about Bhima. You know, Bhima has the strength of 10,000 elephants. I mean, even the strength of one elephant is enough to impress me. Yeah, in my airport, there's only a little elephant, but when he's got your hand, that's it. And when that trunk goes around your wrist, there's nothing you can do. He's got you. And they're going to do with you what they want. That's how it is. 10,000 elephants. I mean, for Bhima to stop a train, that's nothing. You know. Stop. That's easy. I mean, it's rare that you have a train with 10,000 elephants power engine. Yeah? You know, a 10,000 elephant power engine. That is something extraordinary. So, just think of Bhima. Bhima is practically supernatural. Yeah? Then you have Bhishmadev. They shoot arrow after arrow through him, and hundreds of arrows, and he falls back and he lies on a bed of arrows. Now think of any of us, right? One arrow would be plenty, you know? Give us one arrow, and it's time for the ambulance. That's it, you know? Right? I mean, even less than an arrow, frankly speaking, you know. I mean, a cut in the finger is already quite serious. Ah, blood. what to speak of, like, hundreds of arrows. So, sometimes when we look at these heroes of Bhagavatam, they are like almost supernatural. So, how to follow them? How can I be like Bhima? difficult, you know. Whenever I try to flex my muscles too much, I might sprain a muscle. You know, I have to see a doctor next. You know, so that's the first thing they tell you. Take it easy, you know. Don't push yourself. But Bhima, he was running up a mountain. He would say that's dangerous for your heart. So we're living in a different age. And how can we take personalities like Bhishma and Bhima like our role models? Or even Kunti Devi, who prays, you know, Vipadasa, 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 please send, give me more and more problems. Is there anybody here who's ready to go before Radha Vallabha among the ladies, particularly, who want to pray and say, my dear Lord, please give me lots of problems? ready? I think, so sometimes when you look at Bhagavatam, you're looking at personalities who are almost, well, they belong to another yuga, they belong to another era, and they are on another level of power. And it is difficult to accept it as a role model. But when you look, and then you also, even the supernatural features, they're royalty, they're kings. They live in huge palaces, they're rich. They're not like us. But when you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they begin to look more like us. Dhoti, Tilak, and Mardangas, kartals, all these kinds of things. So, the devotees in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, they make very good role models for us. Much closer to us. Not that you cannot take some principles from Bhagavatam and learn from these great personalities. You can. Absolutely. They're also role models. But still, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually closer to home. More people like we are. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on beats, as we are doing. And some of them are householders and working. And some are mothers. And some are grandfathers. And some are uncles and aunties. And some are, whatever they are. All the different social layers are found in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, their culture is a little bit more favorable towards Krishna consciousness than ours, because it's still a little bit more Vedic, so it helps. Like Mother Sachi, she is a Brahmana lady, and she will not just go out for a walk in the street. She is going out and being carried in a palanquin with curtains. Yeah. It's quite pleasant. Yeah. Some might think, was that from the Middle East? No. High class ladies, they were very reserved like that in public. They were not just publicly so much so mixing with the public. Anyway, so we find an identity in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as a sadhaka. We see examples of those who are practicing spiritual life. And many of the issues that we are experiencing in our everyday life are coming up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we see that many of the tests that the devotees are going to are tests that we are also going to. So we get a lot from that, actually. But, question, didn't Srila Prabhupada say that first one should read the Bhagavad Gita and then one should read full Srimad Bhagavatam? And that the Bhagavad Gita is the primary studies, that Chaitanya Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate study, and that Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study? Isn't it? Can we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita before we have finished all these other books? Prabhupada says it's post-graduate study. Can we even be here? Alright, I'll test you all. Is there anyone who's read the Bhagavad Gita in the room? Please raise your hand if you've read Bhagavad Gita. Okay, some of you have read. So, is there anyone who's read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam? Then, are we allowed to even be here in this seminar? Maybe I should send everyone away who hasn't read the Bhagavatam yet. Sorry, you can all stand up and go now. Can we even discuss it? Chaitanya Charitamrita, the forbidden book. It's radioactive. Beware! Don't read it until you have finished the Bhagavatam, which you probably never will this lifetime. At the speed you're reading, two pages every Sunday, then it will take a long time, isn't it? You know, by mathematics, you may have to live a very long time to ever come to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what to do now? Are we going to meet? Yes. When Prabhupada says the postgraduate study, he meant that for really studying it seriously, let us first study seriously Bhagavatam. But it doesn't mean that we can never hear from Chaitanya Charitamrita or never read. And the proof, Srila Prabhupada himself, in 1966, when ISKCON was, well, it wasn't even in the in the early stages, it had hardly begun, right? But ISKCON was just brand new. And Prabhupada began to give lectures on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And people were like, had no ideas, or trying to get it with the Bengali accent, just like sonotone, like Atul will say. Sonotone. What? Sanatan, and devotees were just wondering, what is he saying? What is the name? They're trying to take notes. No one would understand. But today, we are looking at the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita provides us our identity as sadhakas. The mercy of the Panchatattva. Yes, the worship of Lord Jagannath. But it also provides us more than the identity of a practitioner. Because by following the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it will also bring out our eternal identity. Now we have forgotten. But by following this process, one day we will know who we really are, eternally. And you never know. You never know. Sometimes the question is raised that is it so that in our current material identity, some of the parts of our spiritual body are already manifest? Not necessarily, right? It could even be that that truck driver with the tattoos, etc., but he's a gopi in spiritual. It could be. And it could be that that ballerina in here in this world is actually a cowherd boy. That could be. Because at this stage, we are so much covered by the material energy that we don't know. We just don't know yet. But with time, we'll gradually that identity will become uncovered. Because it's already there, but now covered. Now we cannot access. But Nitya Siddha Krishna Prince Satya Kamalai Sravana Nisuda Chitta Kaliyogadai, it says that this original identity will awaken. So in this way, Chaitanya Charitamrita provides us our identity in different ways. The temporary one and the eternal. Let's move along with a few slides because this core.
I may as well follow this for a moment. I can try and use the remote, but I'm not sure if it's going to work properly. The left button.
Okay, so here's a little map of India, and as you see, I put a few pictures on the holy downs. Mayapur is right there, and then to the south there is Jagannath Puri, and the six Goswamis are there in Vrindavan. To the east we have Bangladesh, mostly covered by the picture of the Panchatattva. But later, I will invite Atul Krishna Prabhu to give us a presentation on Bangladesh. Because this Bangladesh is very important to our movement. Because in Bangladesh, there are many places where the birth site is of most of the prominent personalities in our movement. The parents of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from Sylhet, which is situated in Bangladesh. Rupa Goswami and so many others all came from Bangladesh, and therefore Atul Krishna Prabhu will make a presentation on some of the places in Bangladesh and some of the personalities related to them. For now, I'll stay within the borders of India. Because I, honestly speaking, I never went to Bangladesh, so that's why that's not my field. But India, yes, and Well, in India, everyone has a very mystical, a mystical view of reality. The Ganga is from the spiritual world.
Yes.
We have these dams we looked at, they are spiritual places. We have Yamuna, we have cows, sacred animals, all the demigods are residing, 33 crore demigods are residing within the body of the cow. Like that, we have Govardhan, Tulasi, so many plants, but only one living entity. How is it possible? So many Tulsi plants all over the world, but Tulsi is one living entity. So it said, Tulsi is not a jiva. So it's just sometimes, what when a plant dies? It's just simply one manifestation of Tulsi is then withdrawn. But Tulsi is supposed to be one living being. So there are all these mystical things in our philosophy. In this land of Bharat, the Vedic culture has survived, the culture that once was known all over the world. And it is in this particular world that we have very much a concept of a double reality. We always live with this mystical reality with us. Let's see if it works. No.
Pointed at the machine.
Hare
Krishna. Anyway, I'm not good at these things.
They don't like me. Well, let me present to you a book. There is the Gaura Kanadesh Deepika. A book written by Kavi Karnapur. Who is Kavi Karnapur? Well, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's very interesting that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are in the different ashrams. One follower was Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas, he was a sannyasi. And one day Chota Haridas became a little bit, he was speaking with a lady, and for a moment touched by lusty desires, and he was in private with a lady, meeting her alone at the door, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so upset that he said that I will never tolerate it to see the face of anyone who is in the renounced order of life and still intimately maintaining connections with him. And he rejected Chota Haridas from his association, and all the devotees were totally shocked. It is said that the male associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they didn't even speak to women in their dreams after that. That's how scared everyone had become. And yet, the same Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a household disciple named Sivananda Sen, who came with his newborn baby and said, "Oh, look at my new child." Lord Chaitanya was very happy, and oh yes, how nice he was. And the child was crawling on the ground, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his lotus feet stuck out, the child just placed the toe of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mouth, and he sucked the toe of the Lord. Well, after that, he was a special boy. You can imagine that. Imagine a baby that sucks the toe of the Supreme Lord. So the boy was known as Puridas. But when he was 5 years old, he started to compose amazing poetry about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu called him Kavi Karnapur. Basically, Kavi means poet. A poet who pours nectar into the ears. So this Kavi Karnapur was a great writer, and he is one of the biographers about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the early biographers. And he wrote also this book, Gaura Kanadesh Deepika, And this book is a sort of who is who in Chaitanya Lila. You know, it's like a guide. You can look at it, who is who in Melbourne, or who is who in Chaitanya Lila. It's useful. Because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Krishna, he comes from the spiritual world. And when Krishna comes, he doesn't come alone. We know that when Krishna came, many of his devotees also came to the spiritual world. So when Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, many of his eternal associates came. And therefore, not only does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have a previous identity, but also the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have another identity. And that we find in the Gaura Kamadesh Deepika. So it's like a key to the pastime of Lord Chaitanya. So that's why I brought out the book, because it's a key to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's important. And it's a small book, it's easy. Later on we can look at a few of the who is who's. Now, the life of Lord Chaitanya, it was recorded, of course, by some of the devotees, just like we have the Prabhupada Lilamrita, and sometimes we have a Prabhupada evening, you know what I mean? And then some Prabhupada disciples come and they start to tell stories of how it was with Prabhupada. And some devotees like Hari Sori or Sruta Kirti, who were Prabhupada's personal servant, they have so many amazing nectar stories. Amazing stories about how it was and what Prabhupada did and what he said, and it's very, very nice. So of course, there were also many eyewitnesses who had recorded their stories. One of them was Murari Gupta, who lived in Navadvip, and he wrote the earliest diary. He was older than Lord Chaitanya. He was about 10 years older. So he wrote his diary, and it's the earliest diary we have about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, completed shortly after his disappearance in 1534, which we'll see a little later. Then, Kali Karnapur also wrote a diary not so long after, and then the later pastimes, they were taking place in Jagannath Puri. The later pastimes in Jagannath Puri, they were, Murari Gupta was not there, they were recorded by Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Swarup Damodar Goswami wrote a diary known as his Kadacha, and somehow or other, this Kadacha, this diary of Swarup Damodar, I have to walk there, and I have to go to the computer. See, they're blocking computers. And if you block three computers, then the world stops. Very important. This is better than go first class now. We come class and get the best seat. Very tricky. Anyway, so. With a bribe to the doctor. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he provided the pastimes, the information about the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the diary is lost. It's gone. It's not there anymore. So what do we do now? Nowadays we have a few verses left over from this diary here and there, and there are a few in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, for the rest we don't have it. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he was in Puri, placed under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he memorized that diary. He learned it by heart. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he told that same information to Krishna Das Kaviraj, who was sort of taking shelter of Raghunath Das. So in this way, Krishnadas got it straight from Raghunath Das. And once upon a time, in Vrindavan, there was the Radha Govinda temple, Rupa Goswami's temple. And it was a very vibrant temple with thousands of devotees who would come there every day. And the pujari was an extraordinary devotee. He was very, very deep in worshipping the deity, and every day he would give lectures from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is the book of Vrindavan Das Thakur, about the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the second biography, which comes after the Murari Gupta's biography. So the Chaitanya Bhagavat, they were discussing every day, but the devotees, they knew that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, who was old, that he had heard from Raghunath Das, and that he knew actually, that he actually knew about the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one else knew. So they all begged him, "You please write. You please write." And Krishna's Kaviraj saying, "Oh, I'm not qualified, how can I write?" But the Vaishnavas were asking. And then one day, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went before the deity of Madan Mohan in the Madan Mohan temple in Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. And as he paid his obeisances, a garland fell from the deity, just as he was there. So the pujari immediately took it that this garland is meant for Krishnadas Kaviraj. And he gave it to him. So then Krishnadas took it. That, yes, the Lord, the devotees asked me, the Lord gave a sign, yes, I must write Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is chapter 8 in the Adivila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Krishna started to write, and he used some of the verses from the diary, from Sarutamada, the diary that is now lost. And one of these verses that he was using in the invocation, he wrote an invocation, 14 verses he wrote. And the last one of these, and they were about Pancha Tattva, these 14 verses. And the last one about Pancha Tattva was the verse Pancha Tattvam Kam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Sarupa Kam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakti Shakti Kam. It's a famous verse. Devotees, we memorize that verse. It is a verse that comes from Sarupamala's diary. And it's very interesting because it is said in the Gurukavanish Deepika that just as Krishna appeared in five features in the Pancha Tattva, in five types of truth, in the same way now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also appeared with the Pancha Tattva. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is for the first time that Pancha Tattva is mentioned. We are all worshipping Pancha Tattva. Oh, Mayapurta, oh, yeah, that's good. Have you seen? Have you been? You went to Mayapur? No. Oh, you can't believe it. If you see Pancha Tattva, if you see Pancha Tattva in real life, it's not the same on Mayapur TV. It doesn't come close. No. Actually, if you see, if you stand in front of Pancha Tattva, and the power from those deities is just extraordinary. Huge. Advaita Acharya, yes, Advaita Acharya is in a jolly mood, right? And many pujaris who have been on the altar, cleaning the altar, they say that sometimes Advaita Acharya gives a slap. Whenever you see a pujari walking around, some bandai runs at them, you ask, Advaita Acharya, like this. So, Panchatattva. We are all worshipping Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Sri Gadadhara Sivasri Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Why? Why are we worshipping Panchatattva?
Well, why? Why are you worshipping Panchatattva?
You will find nothing about Panchatattva in Murari Gupta's diary. Nothing. The first biography. You find everything. Gaur, Nita, Advaita Acharya. But he doesn't make them into one unit. You will only find in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the famous biographer. Everyone is reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, so many stories. Nityananda, and ecstatic, and Nityananda jumps in the Ganga and beats up the crocodiles. That's common reading. They never came back. They told their children and their children, and up to the day of today, no crocodile has ever come back. Only dolphins now and synchronous. So it's okay. Nityananda, we find such descriptions about Nityananda. We find descriptions about Nityananda's kirtan party that came to from Puri to Navadvip, and it said there was a group of young boys, they danced with Lord Nityananda. And they danced and danced for 30 days in the kirtan. No prasada, nothing. But they kept on dancing, and at the end, they became more and more fired up. At the end, they became so fired up that they ripped trees out of the ground. And even the old man, they became more and more fired up. And they started to dance more and more, and jump higher and higher. Until they jumped in the trees and they were dancing on the branches, on the tips of the branches, and they didn't break. So that is all Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it's super ecstatic, so nice to read, wonderful stories, but nothing about Panchatattva. Nothing. It's not mentioned. For the first time, we find an explanation about Panchatattva in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's very interesting. How they are one unit. How they are one unit. And the proof for that is found in this Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, where it is stated, like Kavi Karnapur, the one that sucked the toe as a baby, he gives the proof that this Panchatattva Makam verse came from the Kadacha of Sarupamudra. So that Srutamada was the authority who established Panchatattva. So from this day on we can know that actually where the authority comes from, that we are worshipping Panchatattva. And then, yes, there is Krishna, the original Krishna, in his original form, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna.
Yes, there is.
There is Krishna, and we know that he expands himself into Balaram. And then we know that so many other forms are expanding. Vasudev, Sankarsan, Arjuna, Aniruddha, the Chaturvyuha. And ultimately, Narayan, another chapter of Yuga, and then so many Vishnu forms, avatars. Yes? So we have here Panchatattva. This is Swayam Bhagavan. Here is his own form. Just like we said, it is Nityananda. Panchatattva Makam Krishna, Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. So his Bhakta Rupa is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda is Swarupakam, his own form. Balaram is no different from Krishna. Balaram is Krishna, but in a different mood, in a different color. That's all. But he is still the Supreme Personality of God. Then it comes to the expansions, and ultimately get to the Vishnu forms, the avatars. Yes? So, Bhakta Rupa Sarupagam, Bhakta Avatar is the next one. Bhakta Avatar is later acharyas, representing the avatars. So we see that with Krishna, all avatars are there. And then Bhakti Shakti. Because we know that from Krishna, amongst his energies, there are two energies. One energy is Jiva Tattva, and the other energy is Shakti Tattva. So basically, I'll go to the next page. Looking at Pancha Tattva, we have Krishna, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, so Swayam Bhagavan. That is one. And two, we have Nityananda Swarup. So, Swarup, that means the original form of the Lord, his own form, Nityananda. Three, then we have Advaita, who is described as avatar. He is Mahavishnu or Sadashiva. So that is avatar. And then we have Gadadhar. He is Shakti Tattva. And then five, we have Srivas. He is Narada, Muni, and then he is Jiva Tattva. So now I'll explain this a little bit, and then let's see where we take it. So, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Bhajami, the original Purusha, Nityananda Swarup, he is Krishna, but in a different manifestation. He's Balaram, Nitai Balaram, Advaita Acharya. He is the avatar. Okay, very good. Thank you. And Gadadhar is not a living being like we are. Gadadhar is part of the expansion energy of Krishna. And so there are many associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nanda and Yasoda. They are in that category of Shakti Tattva. There are many. Lalita and Vishakha. You have Krishna, and then you have the Astashakti, the eight principal gopis. They are in the Shakti Tattva category, direct expansion of Krishna, his energies, part of his pleasure potency. But they are not jivas, they are not living beings like we are. There's a different kind of extension. And then the Jiva Tattva, Narada. So, the interesting part of the Pancha Tattva is that there is the Supreme Lord in all his expansions. The first three deal with the Supreme Lord in his expansions. And then the fourth one is energy. And then the fifth one is the living being, the worshipper. And what do you notice with the Pancha Tattva? That the worshipper, instead of standing in front of the altar, the worshipper is on the altar. He's also on the altar. He's also there. So in this way we see that the devotee is not separately worshipping the Supreme Lord at a distance. No. He becomes taken up in the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But come on the altar also. That is the nature of the pastimes of the Lord. No, the devotee doesn't have to stand on the other side in front of the altar. The devotee can join directly in the activities of the spiritual world, fully, as a full participant, not just as a distant worshipper who is just there asking for blessings. So in this way, the relationships of the Pancha Tattva are very, very intimate, and the position of the Jiva is very intimate in that whole exchange. You see? And it indicates the eternal, intimate relationship that the devotee has with the Supreme Lord. So you will not find this theology of Panchatattva anywhere else. But the interesting part is that it's not only part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, but as I showed it to you here, that it is found in Krishna's pastimes also. And that is what is said in the Gaura-Kanya's Deepika. And that is very important for us to know. And in fact, most people in ISKCON, if they even know, right, that Lord Chaitanya is manifest in five features, and if they even know what all these five features are, it is rare that they realize that Krishna also appears in the same Panchatattva. And that if you would wish, you could divide up all the incarnations of Krishna according to Panchatattva in the chart. And that's exactly in the Gaura-Kanya in this Deepika, there are a few verses dedicated to this. I'll give you only one here, Panchatattva Nukam Krishna, but there are a few that explain that formerly the Panchatattva also appeared with Krishna, and now that same Panchatattva has appeared with Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, so what would you like to do? Open the door.
Oh yeah, open the window as far as you like.
Even the door can be open, but it's just that if the kids are totally white, then I don't.
Well, if the door is open, the circulation won't happen, so it would be still fine. I think we must open the door.
Yeah, I have no objection. It's that you can open the door. But then someone has to control the children. Because otherwise I cannot do it. So open the door. Is there a door open up? And a bouncer. That's okay for now. These are sweethearts.
Can we ask a question, Maharaj?
Yes.
Sarab Danda Goswami actually composed the verse?
Yes, he composed the verse and also the explanation of the verse. So it is Sarab Danda who clearly composed the verse. You touched something? Or still touched something?
No, what did you do? Why did he put in a USB?
Because of the dirt.
Oh, but then you throw me out of your high tech, sir. Introduction, the keyboard cannot be identified. You can use the USB to connect to this, not the keyboard. You can skip this step. Do I need it? I mean, let's do that when we are not doing the seminar. Because can I just pull it back up?
Yes.
Pull it back. I don't care. No, because I don't move the slides very fast. But hardly move. If you go really. No, I'm moving quite slow. That's okay. Alright. So, yes, I did. Atul asked a question, and you are also welcome to ask a question. So his question was this verse compiled by Sarup Dhamma? Yes, it was. And it was explained by Sarup Dhamma Goswami. And it's very significant in that way. It's a really... So this makes the Gaura-Kanya Deepika not just a book that you sort of say, that's nice if you've read that book. No, no. It's a book that is really, really important to us because it provides the basis for our worship of Panchatattva. Otherwise, why are you worshipping Panchatattva? If somebody comes one day, some pundit, and says, why are you worshipping Panchatattva? Then, of course, you could go like, but now we can say, because Krishna always appears with his Panchatattva. That is the nature Krishna manifests itself. Because Krishna himself is absorbed in his eternal pleasure pastimes. And then through his expansions, he deals with the material world. Like that. We see it in Krishna's pastimes. So, and the proof is found in Gaura-Kanya's Deepika, where the diary of Sarup Dhamma is quoted, and he established it. He's like Sarup Dhamma Goswami was the personal secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a sannyasi. He was very learned and a great authority, scriptural authority, in the movement of Lord Chaitanya. So, I hope you find it interesting so far. Yes, at all.
Well, the Panchatattva is the absolute truth, so where is the Maya Prakriti in here? We've got the Ishvara and Jiva.
Yeah. No, the Panchatattva does not include Prakriti. The Panchatattva gives us the features of the Supreme Lord. And then Prakriti is further energies. So there are further energies that are there beyond the energies mentioned here. But these are the energies that are engaged in the eternal transcendental pastimes of the Lord. See, the Prakriti is simply a temporary manifestation. You see it and you don't. It's here and tomorrow it's not. So the Prakriti in itself is not interesting in terms from an absolute perspective. But all these are eternal, in eternal relationships with one another, and are meant to be. So the jiva is not meant to be separated from the other tattvas of the Lord. The jiva is meant to fully take his place in the pastimes and recitation of the Lord. And therefore, we put Narada, who is in that mood of being fully absorbed in recitation with the Lord, on the altar, along with the Supreme Lord. Yes. So, there are a few other details in this Gauravyanadesh Deepika which we will not give so much attention to. But there is the evidence also of our Sampradaya. It's important, you know, because you see, we have a whole list, and you find it in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, and it lists our Sampradaya there, our disciplic succession. And we always say, yes, it's very important that your movement is based on a disciplic succession, and we are a bona fide disciplic succession, because, and we have a Sampradaya coming down from Brahma, and then there is Narada, Vyas, Madhva, and then it comes down to Madhva and the Puri, and it comes down to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then it comes down from the Goswamis to Krishna's Kavyas, to Naradanda's Thakur, to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, to Jagannath Das Babaji, to finally Sri Bhaktivedanta Thakur, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta, and so on, and Prabhupada, and here we are in modern times. And the whole list is there. This is why we are bona fide. And then someone will say, yes, but, well, where do you base this idea that there are only four bona fide sampradayas? I come in some sampradaya from Swami Ananda, Swami Bhogananda, and a famous disciple from, you know, from Swami Mentalananda. It's a big sampradaya like this. And yes, we have our own sampradaya. So everyone has its sampradaya. Yes. So we always say, no, no, there are only four bona fide sampradayas. Where do you get that from?
Oh, I don't know. Well, where does it say that there are only four bona fide sampradayas?
No. It says in the Padma Purana. Paya. Padma Purana, Vikana. In the Padma Purana. Somebody's trying to call me. Get off Skype. No, Maharaj. I'm pretty sure it's got a China Maharaj. It's very nice, but I'm always eager to turn off the sky. Aggressive program. And it has thrown us out of our power. Good. Sorry, Maharaj. I could, of course, ask Maharaj to say a few words. I should have. Then it's too late. So, where were we? So the Padma Purana is very important that verse is there, that in Kali Yuga there are only four bona fide sampradayas. But you go to some shop in India and you say, give me a copy of Padma Purana, and you get a copy of the Padma Purana, and the verse is not there. Yes. You know how it goes. Every pandit has taken out a few verses, put in a few extra verses to glorify his own tradition, his own ashram. But this is an earlier version of the Padma Purana. And this is very early version of the Padma Purana that is referred to by Kavi Karnapur. So Kavi Karnapur, 500 years ago, established that the verse, 500 years ago the verse was in the Padma Purana. It's hard to find. There are different editions. So in some editions the verse is there, and in some editions it's not. Because everyone conveniently has his own edition of Padma Purana. These things are going on. Sometimes in the Indian tradition they took out a few verses and sometimes they put in a few. Like in Orissa, there is an Oriya Bhagavat written and it has a 13th canto. They put an extra canto. So this is called interpolation. It is not uncommon. And scholars have a field day trying to separate the original text from the interpolation, and cross-referencing, and they spend years trying to figure out what was the original text. So that's, this is of course going on. Cheating is there in every marketplace, as we know. So anyway, so this is evidence. And then our sampradaya is established like that and is also listed. So if there's any questions of sampradaya, the first, earliest reference to a sampradaya is in Bodhidharma Vistika. So it's an important book. Alright, enough about that. But it's nice to know why we are worshipping the Panchayat. So my course is maybe not only stories and then Lord Chaitanya performed wonderful, miraculous pastimes. He did. Absolutely. You are still fit enough to go to a 1 o'clock, or do you need to stretch, or if someone urgently needs a 5 minutes, that kind of break, there's no problem. We can certainly put in a 5 minute break for that. Shall we do that?
Yes.
Okay. So, 5 Indian minutes break. Please be back as quick as possible. So, yes, this point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, it's sort of for some a little difficult. And the other day we were invited in Mount Eliza in some Shiva ashram, and sure enough, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was introduced like a great medieval Bengali saint. That haven't we heard it before? And because most people will accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as that, and not really as much more. So I wanted to spend a little time also showing you a little bit of the evidence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. Now there are two types of evidence in dealing with that. One type of evidence is scriptural evidence. Srila Prabhupada has given us some of that scriptural evidence in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I brought it with me, and it's easy to remember. And if you ever need scriptural evidence to prove that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, you can do two things. One is you can surf the web and see what you find. But then there is something out there, and I could give you some of the sites, even where it is. I'll put it on my site for you. Then you can take it from the gatekeyswami.com. That's easy. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is in Adi Lila, Adi 2.22. Very difficult to remember.
What was that? Adi?
2.22. 2.22. Like that. 2.22. Very good. So in Adi 2.22, I'll just read it to you, just so that you have a little bit of proof. And I have on my computer lots more. But if I read it all, then I'm afraid that not only the kids are going to fall asleep, but that I will probably be the last one awake in the room. I'll just jump straight to the verses. The purport is a little longer. That Govinda, first it says in the verse, that Govinda personally appears as Chaitanya Gosvami. No other Lord is as merciful in delivering the fallen souls. 1. From the Chaitanya Upanishad, Gaura Sarvatmamaha Puruso Mahatma Mahayogi Trignatitas Rupa Bhaktim Lokasiji. Lord Gaura, who is the all-pervading super soul, the Supreme Personality of God, appears as a great sage and powerful mystic who is above the three modes of nature and is the emblem of transcendental activity. He disseminates the cult of devotion throughout the world. Sveta Sartara Upanishad comes next. The two verses it said, O Supreme Lord, you are the Supreme Maheshwar, the worshipable deity of all the demigods, and the Supreme Lord of all lords. You are the controller of all patrols, the Personality of God, the Lord of everything worshipable. The Supreme Personality of God is Mahaprabhu, who disseminates transcendental enlightenment. Just to be in touch with him is to be in contact with the indestructible Brahmajyoti. Next, Mundaka Upanishad. One who sees that golden-colored personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Actor, who is the source of the Supreme Brahman, is liberated. Let us skip the scene. Sanskrit. Bhagavatam, of course, gives a few verses. they are more famous. I will not read all of them, but there are three verses in the 11th canto. And then, this clearly describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then there's the Krishna Yamala. It is a Pungyakse Pranavadipa Bhavachami Satchisutta. I shall appear in the holy land of Nandavit as the son of Satchisutta. The Vayu Purana. Kalo Sankirtanamiva Bhavishyami Sachi Sutta. In the age of Kali, when the Sankirtan movement is inaugurated, I shall descend as the son of Sachi. Then Brahma Yamala. Sometimes I appear on the surface of the world in the garb of a devotee. Specifically, I appear as the son of Sachi in Kali Yuga to start the Sankirtan movement. Then Ananta Samhita, the Supreme Person, Sri Krishna himself, who is the life of Sri Radharani and is the Lord of the universe in creation, maintenance, and annihilation, appears as Gora, O Mahishwari. So these are some verses that are found, and what they find in this Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 2.22. From my website, you can download many more. You can look there, there's a whole list of so many verses. You can download it from there if you ever want the proof. I'm not going to argue this any further. Of course, any scholar of Sanskrit might argue. No, this is the wrong interpretation, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Very good. But there are so many quotes. It's not one or two. There are many. At least 100 or more. So it is substantial. Substantial enough for us. And if there is someone who's still arguing, let them argue. Yeah. Let them argue. Sometimes You cannot silence a person. But if you've given enough evidence, then he becomes unreasonable. And then people will not follow such a person. He may keep on arguing, but other people won't care. So there is enough scriptural evidence for ourselves to be convinced that actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. If we had any doubt, then let it be clear that it's evidence in the scripture. That's one point. Yes?
You said three times in the 11th canto.
Yeah.
Is that the Bhagavatam?
Bhagavatam, yes, Bhagavatam. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I should have said that. Yeah, 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is very clearly said. I can read one of the three.
And is that the one Prabhupada did not write?
Sorry?
Is that the one Prabhupada did
not write? Prabhupada translated it. Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva, 5,000 years ago, wrote Srimad Bhagavatam down. Prior to that, Srimad Bhagavatam was already orally, in speech, being carried forward for generations. But 5,000 years ago, people's memory was going down, so it was written down by Vyasadeva. And then Prabhupada translated the Sanskrit into English, and then we see in the 11th canto very clearly a reference to the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also in another argument in the sometimes, in India, Hindus are also arguing. They're saying, no. In scripture it is said, Tri Yugi Narayan. I think you may have heard. Tri Yugi Narayan, meaning that Narayan appears only in three yugas, according to the scripture. And what do you say when someone comes and says Tri Yugi Narayan? What will you say then? Okay, good argument. Seems ready.
If Prahlad Maharaj was, it says that the Kali Yuga avatar is a Chinna avatar.
Mm-hmm.
That is a reference.
He gives a reference of Prahlad Maharaj. Good. Yes, there's some references there. Very, very good point. What other argument would you give?
Doesn't Kali Yuga everyone proclaims himself to be God?
Mm-hmm.
So God didn't want to be another one because all the people didn't believe him. So he came as he should.
Okay. So it says he's explaining that in Kali Yuga, the Lord comes as his devotee, basically, Bhakti Rupa. And a hand in the back.
That
what you were going to say. Two minds, one thought. Yep. Telepathic. No, it's logical. Yes. These are nice points. Another argument. And that argument is given by Krishna Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is an argument where it is described that Bhargava Muni came to the house of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, and he did the birth ceremony of Krishna, and then Bhargava Muni was describing that this child previously appeared in different colors, and he gave different colors. Which colors did he give? White? Red?
Green.
White? Red? Yellow. Yellow. You should have said that. Yellow, yes. It said, Garga Muni clearly said yellow. And who is the yellow in Garga? He was speaking about the Yuga avatar. See, Ram is not appearing as the Yuga avatar. Ram is Vila avatar. Mm. So the Yuga avatar teaches the Yuga avatar. So that's why it's yellow. So there was a Yuga avatar who taught the Dharma for the particular Kali Yuga, who is yellow. Who is that? So that is a clear indication. So, if they ever argue, oh, there's only in three yugas, because it's very clear. But the yellow is there. And your arm is also from Pallava, is just there.
Gargamuni is saying previously appears.
Previously appeared because they appear again and again? Again and again? Yes. It is cyclic, right? The incarnations of the Lord appear again and again. Alright, so let me see.
Yeah. If Ram was a Vilapa, who was the Yugavtar for Treta Yug?
Who was it? Red. Yep, yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shortly, and then a full half an hour, that's what you need. Yeah, fine. So I'll take 10 minutes now, and then turn it over to Atul, and then if there's some time left, then I'll wrap it up. So I'm with you as a watcher on the screen. Another reason why someone may be recognized as divine is he must do something extraordinary. Right? If someone claims to be God and he cannot even string his own shoelaces, then he's not very convincing. We want to see a few miracles. So, did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu perform a few miracles? Yes, he did. And he performed more miracles than are here on this list. I've just taken a few, because if I would have put more, then the letters would have become so small, and it would have been difficult to see. Okay? So I decided, in Abhisindar, I got the name ones. And before his birth, while he was in the womb, his mother was seeing all these celestial beings appearing around her. She was having all these visions of amazing celestial beings, and she was becoming effulgent, and it is said, according to the explanation of the scriptures, the Lord actually appeared not through a process of normal conception, but rather what is sometimes referred to as immaculate conception. There was no sexual activity. It is said from the consciousness of Jagannath Misra. Then the Lord entered into the consciousness of Sachi, and then she began pregnant. So it said. So that is one point, and after the child appeared, then there were so many miracles. Something extraordinary was there about the child, because he was crying all the time. Say that may not. Some ladies will say, "Well, that's not so extraordinary. I can tell you some stories." Just come and visit us at home. Just let me know which homes that is, and those homes I will not visit. No, but besides the jokes, but this child, as soon as the ladies who chant Hare Krishna, he was quiet. And after a little while, they found it out, and they even tried to test it. You know, they squeezed him, and then he cried, and then they would chant Hare Krishna, and again quiet, and like this. So it really worked, and it became a thing that all the ladies were talking about. You know, this is quite amazing. This child, I mean, you know, check it out. As soon as you start chanting, you start to cry. So everyone would come and chant to the child. And yes, it worked. In this way, there was lots of kirtan going on by the arrangement of Mahaprabhu. And of course, he appeared during the moon eclipse when everyone was going into the Ganga to chant the holy name. So there was lots of holy name around him. It is said that in the house of Lord Chaitanya, when he was a young baby, they all the time, his parents, heard this tinkling of ankle bells. Yeah? As if some fast running, like a child running with ankle bells. But who was running? They didn't see anyone, but they heard it. The ankle bells. And they saw the footprints of Vishnu all over the house. So Jagannath, this is what I was thinking, it must be the Shaligram Shila. That must be the Shaligram Shila that is running all over the house. And but sometime later, they actually saw on the foot, on the feet of the child, they saw the mounts of Vishnu. So they were there. They were there. So this is described. So it is said, I said the Chaitanya Charitamrita began with describing the Panchatattva. It takes 7 chapters for describing the Panchatattva. And only in chapter 13 are we beginning to describe the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find that in the first 5 years, and in the description of the first 5 years, the descriptions of the childhood process focus on miracles. There's a lot of about supernatural activity, so to prove that here we're not dealing with an ordinary child. Once, on an Ekadasi, the very wealthy Hiranyagopadam and Govardhan Majumdar, who were like tax collectors for the government. So they were very prominent in the district, extremely wealthy. They were making like something like 12 lakhs a month in those days, 500 years ago. That was, even now it would not be bad. And in those days, it was inconceivable how wealthy they were. And they were putting on these huge offerings on Ekadasi. And the child was acting sick, and his parents were very worried. And then finally, the child demanded that he wanted to have that Ekadasi Mahaprasad. And he was so strong. And then, you know, his parents, they told this Majumdar family, and just on that Ekadasi, they had a very special offering going on. And they said, how does this child know that we have this special offering? So they gave the Mahaprasada. And then he ate it. And he became better also. It is also said that Nimai, as a child, once a Brahmana came to the house of Jagannath Misra, and this Brahmana came to cook for his deity. Jagannath Misra supplied him all the things, and he was ready to cook for the deity and make an offering. And then, just as he was saying the mantras, suddenly in the middle of chanting the mantras, Nimai appears and just snaps the boca and starts eating. Oh! What a disaster. So the Brahmana was greatly shocked, and that this rascal had done this, and they complained to the father, and the father and big family Brahma, and then the Brahma said, maybe I should just fast today, maybe the Lord wants me to fast. Please, not in my house, that would be terrible. No, please forgive us, we'll provide everything, please cook again. So the Brahmana cooked again, and just as he offered it again, and rang the bell, and chanted the mantra, inviting Krishna, it was Nimai again. Yes. So it was too much. And again, this time, even a bigger drama, and after that, Jagannath Misra stood with a stick in front of the door. Right? And still Nimai got in, and still he tasted the boga. So that night, the Brahmana for the final time cooked and finished just at midnight, and was about to make his offering. When Nimai appeared, the whole house was asleep now. And then the house was like, I know, please, oh no! And Nimai just took it again. What can I do? You are inviting me. You are inviting me. What can I do? And he just took it, and then he showed his form of Krishna to this Brahmana. But he also told the Brahmana, don't spread this around, keep it secret. So, in this way, Nimai in his childhood, he showed. Later, Nimai also showed his, that's not on here, but later he also showed his is 4 armed forms, 6 armed forms, and so he also showed several forms where he clearly showed that he was the Supreme Lord to different personalities. Sveta Acharya saw, Nichananda saw, Sarvam Bhattacharya saw. So different personalities saw on different occasions. And so that was further proof. Then a few miracles in Jarikanda, he made the tigers and the deers chant in ecstasy, and the tigers and the deers were embracing and even kissing each other. If that's not a miracle, then I don't know what a miracle is. Right? So in that way, Lord Chaitanya did amazing things. Yes. So that's Jarikanda. He cured his leper, Vasudev. And in South India, there were a number of tal trees, 6 tal trees, and it is said when Sri Chaitanya, when Lord Ramachandra was on the way to build the bridge, then he had shown his prowess at that time. He was supposed to show to Bali, not to Bali, Suriva, how he was, so that he could show that he could deal with Bali, because Suriva didn't believe it. So he shot this arrow through these 6 trees. Show Sugriva that he was very powerful. And then Sugriva believed him. And Lord Chaitanya went to that place, and he was in ecstasy to be there, and in South India, and he just embraced those trees, one after another, and one after another, all those trees disappeared. Mm-hmm. Went to the spiritual world. Like that. That was another miracle. He cured the body of Sanatana, who was covered in sores, and he embraced him, and his body became beautiful. Vasudev the leper. So many miracles. In Puri, during Ratiyatra, the chariot would not move. It was stuck. The king put some big wrestlers. They were pulling. No success. Then the king put elephants. They were prodding them. And they were prodding the elephants, and the chariot did not move. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, take those elephants off. He gave the robes to his own man. And he went to the back of the chariot and touched the chariot with his head, and it started rolling on its own. His men were not even pulling. These are some of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that show his miracles. But let us understand one thing. That is nothing. That is not the real miracle. The real miracle was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's extraordinary love of God. Such miracle had never been seen. Some had cured people from disease. Some had shown great strength. Some had made things disappear, but no one had ever shown such love of God. No one had ever cried so many tears. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing in the back of the temple, of Jagannath's temple, next to the Garuda stone, he was crying, seeing the deep, and there was a gutter, and there was a stream like a river running there. As if someone had left the temple open. It was just running and running and running. Where was all that water coming from? Well, there was water now.
Tears.
But where were all those tears coming from? But how can in one man's body be there so many tears? Doctor?
From Ganga.
Doctor G, how much water is there in the body of a human being? How many liters? How many liters? In mind, there is some extra because he pumped it in with a syringe this morning. But I can hear again. But how much water is in the body of a human being? How many liters of blood?
5.
And he's the doctor. Also doctor. Oh, I see. Oh, good. I didn't know. You're also a doctor. I see. Okay, then you can answer. Some medical advice. Five. So, very good. Yeah? 65% of the body's made of water.
How much blood?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. 65% of the body is made of water, but even then, Shichitama was crying, liters and liters, on and on and on. His ecstasy of love of God was just overwhelming. When he came in front of the deities in Puri, he became ecstatic and he just embraced those deities. Trying to. His love for Krishna was something else. It was superhuman. That is the real miracle. And that is what we devotees are trying to understand. So actually this seminar is there for an atheist. He wants to prove that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. For us, we want to know how he is the Supreme Lord. And therefore, our interest is to find out how amazing these symptoms of love of God are in Sri Chaitanya. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, little by little, begins to uncover this for us and show us, little by little, more and more, the amazing nature of that great miracle, the love of God that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had. And that is the hidden secret in the whole book, which slowly comes out more and more. And that is the essence of our spiritual life, that love of God. So in this seminar, we're going to slowly find out more about this love of God. Hare Krishna. Atul.
So I will do the
in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it explains that when Chaitanya, well, prior to the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Srila Mayapura, many of the Lord's associates took birth all through Bengal in different places to serve the Lord in his pastimes. So,
Come on.
Chaitanya Bhagavad has mentioned that prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. All throughout Bengal, many of the Lord's eternal associates took their birth to assist the Lord in his pastimes. And Maharaj just requested me to give you a brief little introduction or to familiarize you with some of the holy places in Bangladesh where some of the Lord's eternal associates appeared. So on this map here you can see Bangladesh, and here's Ganga Devi up here, Ganga, and just about down here is Sridhar Mayapur on the Ganga, and here is Calcutta down here. So Ganga splits into two up here. You can see a little split there. So this Ganga that comes down through Sridhar Mayapur, that's called Bhagirathi Ganga. And Ganga turns here and goes into Bangladesh also. And there, does anyone know what the name of Ganga Devi is when she flows through Bangladesh? And that is Padma River. So there's many exalted eternal associates of Krishna that appeared in Bangladesh. Does anybody here know? Just before we can make a little list here, just to give you a record. Someone can help me write down some of these names. Does anybody know some of the eternal associates? Rasanandini Madhuji? Someone can write for us. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So they appeared over here in this area down there. You see that, Joshua? So that's very close to Sridhar Mayapur. It's only actually about, so the border of Bangladesh from Mayapur is only about 30 kilometers. And so just over there to Jessore, the birthplace of Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, it's only about 40 kilometers from Mayapur. However, it takes quite a while to get there, because as you were all aware, due to the political history of India, 1947, the partition, and at that time, this area of land was called East Pakistan, and then there was West Pakistan. In 1971, Bangladesh had a war with Pakistan, a liberation war, which is also famous. George Harrison went to Bangladesh and wrote a song and everything. So Bangladesh has a very interesting history. Actually, as a country, it only began in 40 years ago. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they appeared here. And any other people you know, any other personalities appeared in this tract of land, Bangladesh, that you know of? Narottam Das Thakur. I'll put his name up here. So he appeared up here on the Padma River, up in this area, Tetuli, and Rajshahi division. Up there, Rajshahi is the main town. And just a little east of there is the Tetuli village. As Maharaj mentioned a little earlier, that Tetuli Dam, the first Gaurpanima festival was celebrated, and Janavi Mata had all the... Keturi Dam, yeah. So that's still a very important place for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Bangladesh. And every year, on the disappearance day of Narottam Das Thakur, there's a huge mela there where all the Vaishnavas from all over Bangladesh congregate. Actually, we could have given a lot more time and nice pictures on this, but we had limited time. And actually, what I had prepared was all just lost in that crisis before, so all I have to the map now. So I had actually some shots, but anyway, try and salvage something. And perhaps next time, give you more information on it. So, Narottam Das Thakur, anyone else you know? Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, yeah? And he appeared somewhere in the area of Dhaka, actually. in a village not far out of Dhaka, and I haven't actually visited the birthplace, and I'm not sure if it's actually ascertained exactly where he appeared, but records indicate somewhere in that area. Amongst our acharyas, other great personalities appeared here, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and also Gorkhasore Das Babaji Maharaj. So he appeared up here in this place here called Tangail. You know Tangail Shari? Yeah, so the very famous, that area for producing cloth. So Gorkhasore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was a grain merchant in Tangail, and then gave up family life and he left and went all the way. He gave up family life and went all the way over here to Vrindavan and did bhajan in Vrindavan for many years and then returned to Mayapur to associate with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and gave diksha to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Any other personalities? Jagannath Mishra, of course, yes. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, the ancestral home of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is up here in this area of Silet, up here. And at that time in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described as Srihatta. So actually the people of Srihatta, they're very proud of the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ancestral heritage is from that place. And actually they claim that the real Yoga Pit, the place where the Lord appeared in this material world, they claim that the real Yoga Pit is here in Srihatta, because when Jagannath Mishra left Srihatta to come and reside down here in Mayapur, at that time, Sachi Mata actually was carrying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in her womb. So actually he first appeared up here in Srihatta. And you can visit the ancestral home. Another famous personality from our Panchatattva appeared up here in this area. Sri Advaita Acharya, yes, just a little to the left of Silet up here. So a very important place of pilgrimage for us. And also Sribas Thakur also appeared in the same area, just a little south of Sibet up there. So we have temples, there are Vaishnava temples at the appearance at the ancestral home of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata as the Advaita Acharya. And Sribas Thakur. And then Advaita Acharya also, there is a his birthplace is established, and actually ISKCON actually has a nice piece of property just near the birthplace of Advaita Acharya. And this Sribas Thakur's birthplace, Sribas Thakur, actually that is as yet still completely undeveloped. And everybody in the area knows exactly the place, and the house is there, the land where Sribas Thakur is birthed. And that is currently just owned by a normal person living there in his house. And if you go and visit, the ISKCON devotees, they come in the micro van and visit, and he's very happy to welcome you, and he'll take you out into the backyard and show you the birthplace of Sribas Thakur. So it's quite remarkable that such an extraordinary and important tirtha is yet completely undeveloped. So we are hoping that in the future that we can acquire the control of all these properties and gradually develop all the important tirtha sthans and important places of the Lord's associates. But it's a Sribas Thakur, very important associate of the Lord. Down a little further here, this famous area here in Chaitanya Bhagavat is called Chotogram. That's the Bengali word, Chotogram, which means the small village, Chotogram. So because when the British were governing Bengal, they couldn't properly pronounce Chotogram, so that since at that time it's been called Chittagong. And it's on the Bay of Bengal here, and it's the second largest city in Bangladesh and a large trading port. So in this famous place here, many exalted Vaishnavas took their birth. And we can just discuss a few of those. I have a photo I'll show you. Okay. Anyone know who this famous personality is? Very good. So in Krishna Leela, who was Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi?
Nanda Mahara.
Try again. Vrishabhanu, he was the father of Radharani. And so when he was in Chaitanya Leela, he was considered and referred to by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as father, Baba, because of his relationship, the eternal relationship. So he's a very interesting personality, Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and appears in several places in the writings of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Having taken his birth in the Chokogram, that area of Bangladesh, as we showed you on the map, he also had a house in Mayapur. And one day, Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda Datta were going to visit Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi because he was very famous as an exalted Vaishnava. So, when Gadadhar Pandit visited, he noticed that it was an unusual appearance. And as in this picture here, you can see that his attire was a little unusual because he was very opulent in his dress. And it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that he had very long hair, which was scented with perfumed oil, and sitting in this beautiful, comfortable place with silken cushions, and surrounded by, there was golden water pots and scented perfumes, and there were ladies actually there at his feet, and with the chamara waving and serving him, and there were mirrors situated in different places around the room, and he could see his beautiful form, and he was there, and also there was a hookah pipe. All of this is described. So Gadadhar Pandit was a little perplexed that how this apparent Vishayi or materialist could be a great devotee. So Mukunda Datta, who we'll also just mention a little briefly before we conclude this morning, who has also appeared in the same area, Mukunda Datta, he knew the exalted qualities of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, so he immediately quoted a verse, he sang a verse. This Mukunda Datta was very dear to the Lord because of his kirtan and his beautiful voice. And he sang a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, spoken by Sri Uddhava, where Uddhava is describing how merciful is Lord Krishna, that even Putana, she demon, approached Krishna to kill him. However, because she offered her breast, Krishna accepted that and offered her an eternal abode, eternal position of serving the Lord in his eternal abode as a datri or a nurse. So Uddhava is saying, how merciful is this Krishna that even those who are coming to kill him, he bestows so much affection upon. So when Mukunda Datta sang this verse in a beautiful way, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he immediately became overwhelmed with ecstatic love and fell off his asan and immediately began tearing all his clothes off, and his hair became all disheveled, and tearing up all of the cushions and cotton wool and fluff was all floating in the air, and smashing all the water pots and smashing the mirrors and disheveling. And three people were trying to hold him down as he was just calling out, Krishna, 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 having heard this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So seeing this, Gadadhar was shocked at how a person can become so erupted in praying bhakti just with a slight stimulation. So understanding that this person is obviously a complete transcendental soul and completely merged in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. As we know, an eternal associate of the Lord. And he was unable to contain his ecstatic symptoms. And he remained in that condition for 6 hours. 6 hours, not just a little show for 10-15 minutes. For 6 hours, he remained completely unconscious and in these symptoms of ecstasy. So after that, who knows what happened? In order to rectify his mentality of offensiveness, Yanata, a pundit, what did he do? Yes, Mataji, Sadra Radha, what did he do? Yes, so Jadatha Pandit, he took the diksha, mantra diksha from Sri Pundarabhitanidhi, which is also very appropriate because Jadatha Pandit, as Maharaj was explaining on that earlier chart, is the Swarup Shakti, the internal energy of Buddha, is also the expansion of Srimati Radharani. So, Jadatha Pandit was disciple of Pundarabhitanidhi in Gaur Leela and Srimati Radharani, the daughter of Vishwabhanu Maharaj in Krishna Leela. Other great personalities that appeared in the same area there. That's the this is the Samadhi Mandir or the Janmasthan of Pundarabhitanidhi that ISKCON has acquired the property there, the land there, ISKCON, and we've built this nice temple to Pundarabhitanidhi. And the Nitya Saver of Sri Pundarabhitanidhi is eternally going on there, conducted by ISKCON devotees. And also, we'll show you these pictures of...
Where was Gadadha, if I may ask?
Where?
Where did he appear?
Gadadha Pandit, I'm not sure. Did we say Bangladesh Gadadha Pandit? No, we said...
No, he says on the board.
I'm not sure of Gadadha Pandit. That has to be verified, yeah.
Not in Bangladesh.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So these personalities also... These two personalities here, you can see the photos, appeared also just a couple of hundred meters away from Pundarabhitanidhi, whose birthplace. And these personalities are Sri Mukunda Datta and Sri Vasudev Datta. So Mukunda Datta is very interesting devotee of the Lord. In Mahaprabhu's childhood, Mukunda Datta was a school friend of Mahaprabhu, and they would play together and argue and debate logic. And when Chaitanya, as Maharaj was explaining a little earlier, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya and came back and began to display his ecstasy and his love of Godhead and begin his Sankirtan pastimes, at that time he sat in the house of Sridhar Thakur and began calling all the devotees, and he began to display amazing visions to the devotees to convince them of his divinity as the personality of Godhead, and all the devotees were coming, and all the devotees except Mukunda Datta were called for the Lord, and the Lord was bestowing prema and love of God on everyone. And Sridhar Thakur was lamenting about Mukunda Datta because he's your dear servant. Why aren't you calling him? And Mahaprabhu said, this Mukunda Datta, he on one hand approaches with straw in his teeth, and on the other hand he approaches with a stick to beat me. Because he's a Shugida Badi, which means whatever association he's in, he will adopt and appreciate and fall in line with their philosophy. So sometimes he goes to the Mayavadis and he talks about Advaitavad and Sankara and impersonalism. And then he comes to the Vaishnavas and he talks about Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna. So in this way he's displeasing me, and he will never get my mercy. So hearing this, Sridhar Thakur said, well, Mahaprabhu, you're here in such a merciful mood, you're bestowing all. Will he never get your mercy? And Mahaprabhu said, okay, you tell that Mukunda Datta that he will get my mercy. He can see, you tell him never to come here in front of me again. I never want to see him again. And Sridhar Thakur said, never again, my lord, never again. You've come to bestow mercy on everyone, but Mukunda will never get your mercy. And Mahaprabhu said, okay, you tell that Mukunda that he can get my, he can again see me in 10 million births. After 10 million births, you can see me again. So Mukunda Datta, he was standing there and he could hear. And when he heard 10 million births, he immediately became filled with ecstatic love and was dancing and crying and singing, I will see, I will see, I will see. In only 10 million births, I will see the Lord again. So when the Lord heard his response, and his heart immediately melted, and he said, bring that Mukunda immediately to me. So that's Mukunda Datta. And also when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas, he first informed Mukunda Datta about his plans to take sannyas. And Mukunda Datta said, please stay a few more days here in Mayapur and do sankirtan. And then Mukunda Datta and Chandrasekhara and Nityananda accompanied Sriman Mahaprabhu to Tattva, and they arranged the sannyas ceremony of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we are celebrating this year, the 500 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas. And then Mukunda and Nityananda, they accompanied Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Puri, which is also elaborately explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So his brother, Mukunda Datta, his elder brother is Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta. And Vasudev Datta is also a very exalted devotee of the Lord, eternal devotee of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Vasudev Datta was an incarnation of who? Or partial incarnation of who? Vasudev Datta is a partial incarnation of who? Prahlad Maharaj. And there's a nice lila about Vasudev Datta, which we'll request Maharaj to just briefly elaborate on a little before he closes. But I'll just show you some of the shots here of the temple that the ISKCON has built for Vasudev Datta and Mukunda Datta. There's the original, very old bhajan kutir of Vasudev Datta and Mukunda Datta, which is just nearby Pundarika Nidhi's birthplace, in a dilapidated condition. So having got control and that property also donated to us, ISKCON has built a very nice temple to Vasudev Datta and Mukunda Datta. There it is there, and you can go and visit any time, and you can get the mercy of these exalted personalities. This is just a drop of the richness and the wealth and spiritual potency of the holy land of Mongol Bhumi. And we encourage you, anytime you visit Sridhar Mayapur, you can take a visit there, and you'll be very enlightened and purified by visiting all these holy places.
Every day is the same as Sanjay.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Where it is to see my son's work, and Chaitanya is to like hearing his songs.
Yeah, that's that. Maybe the same person, but we'd have to do a bit of research to find out. But two brothers, Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta. Haridas Thakur's place also is there in Bangladesh. I'll show you that. Go back to the map.
There's a pilgrimage route to India. Do you have one to
Bangladesh? Not yet developed. Haridas Thakur, he also appeared up here in the Jeshore district, and those famous places of his pastimes. On this list is not complete. There's other Gopinath Goswami, Bansidas Babaji Maharaj. The list goes on and on. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, another one of our important acharyas. He appeared down here in this area here. Is at Kumila. Birthplace of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, and also Subhag Swami Maharaj. So a special land, undoubtedly, for the Gaudiya tradition, a special sacred place where so many exalted personalities are taking birth. Haridas Thakur appeared up here in Jessore, and just on the border of India and Jessore and Bangladesh is that Haridas Pur Benapol, and you can still visit that place where Haridas Thakur delivered the prostitute. That is there. And of course ISKCON is very well established in Bangladesh. You may not know, we have about 20 to 25 major centers and probably more than in between 5,000 to 10,000 initiated devotees in Bangladesh. And in Dhaka alone, we have two temples with around 120 brahmacharis in Dhaka. And it's kind of remarkable because, as you know, it's a predominantly a Muslim country, 90% Muslim population. And we have a major Ratha Yatra every year in Dhaka where they close the streets and rain down the main street, three chariots. And it's quite amazing in a predominantly Muslim country that we're performing Ratha Yatra. Prabhu from Sylhet with us today. Give us so much more information about it. Yeah. So, yeah, we invite you.
Ramchandra
Kaviraj, he's probably from Bangladesh. Oh, Ramchandra Khan or Ramchandra Kaviraj? Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think he was the one who was taking the books in the car.
Related to Srinivas Thakur, friend of Srinivas Thakur. Yeah, Ramchandra Kaviraj. So, yes, we encourage you anytime to visit Bangladesh, visit ISKCON centers there, and it's a very wonderful preaching zone. Hare Krishna. Well, every part. Every year, more than a third of Bangladesh is underwater every year. But it's interesting, we're preaching there regularly, and we hear on the news every year it comes monsoon and half of Bangladesh underwater and so many villages washed away and people. And then when we go and visit after the floods have subsided, we're expecting everyone to always be saying, oh, this year so much flood, so much misery. But no one ever mentions it. You only hear it in the international news and you go there and no one ever mentions it. Because, interesting, that in a more simple country, in fact, in many ways, compared to India, Bangladesh is a much more spiritual country. Much more spiritual country. Because it's, in fact, the Islamic influence there is actually quite favorable for Krishna consciousness. Because alcohol is illegal, and premarital friendship between male and female is completely illegal. No girlfriend, boyfriends allowed. And generally the women are very chaste. You'll never see a lady wearing anything apart from the kamas, salwar kamas or shari. No t-shirts and jeans. And much less influence of Western values and Western culture in Bangladesh. And actually it's, in a way, it's poverty is a great blessing because the people are very much more pious and more inclined to spiritual life. And these miseries that regularly inflict that place, they don't seem to mind so much. They understand that everything's the mercy of God, and this life is temporary, and we should serve God, and people understand that. So it's a very fertile preaching field. Hare Krishna. And when the Acharya up here, just up here near Nisulat, yeah, Purna Tita.
What's it called?
Purna Tita. Yeah, and every year there's a famous festival there where when Advaita Acharya in his childhood, he called all the holy tirthas to the river up there, and so every year, around the 15th of January, this river floods, and all the holy tirthas actually appear there at that place. So it's an annual festival there. This one has a large property there that they're developing a temple. So I had a nice photo of our pilgrimage at Mangachi, but that was lost in our damage before. I don't think I have that now. So I was going to request Maharaj to tell us a little bit about Vasudevdatta and Mangachi before we conclude today. Shall we do that, Maharaj?
It's getting late.
So we'll hand it back to Maharaj to conclude the morning session.
Hare Krishna. Well, we're a little bit over time, and I don't want to make it 2 minutes, so I didn't want to start a major presentation now on Mangasi, maybe a little long. But very short, Vasudev Dutta is an amazing personality.
Because it is said that Vasudev Datta prayed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please transfer the karma of all the universe, of all the sinful living beings of the universe upon me. So this place, Mongachi, is still a very special place, because it is the place where the Vaishnavas go to pray for compassion. And to actually develop compassion is very difficult. That you know. And that is actually what blocks us from taking up this mission of Mahaprabhu, because we're thinking always about ourselves. Am I comfortable? What does it do for me? What's the benefit for me? Ultimately, we are still the center of the universe. But Vasudev Datta truly was a personality who was completely dedicating itself in the service of Mahaprabhu and of all other living beings, and was ready to sacrifice himself for their benefit. And this is truly the spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, this place, Mongachi, is very important. Very important. And to go there and to actually pray to Vasudev Datta is an amazing experience. Every year we are taking devotees there. It's a very nice journey. I have actually lots of slides on Mongachi too. Going there by boat, it is a boat journey into a branch of the Ganga. Nice boat journey, and then we get there to this beautiful place. There are other pastimes. It's the first site of Vrindavan Das Thakur, the writer of Chaitanya Bhagavad. It's Sarinda Thakur, who stayed there, an associate of Mahaprabhu, who revived, who felt that he had to do something to deliver conditioned souls, and he felt, yes, I've never initiated, I should initiate. Alright, tomorrow, the first person I'll meet, I'll initiate. When he was taking his bath in the Ganga, it was still dark. And someone bumped into it. That's the one. It happened to be a dead body. Anyway, no problem. He put his foot, his lotus foot, on the head of the dead body, which became revived. And he initiated and called him Murari Chaitanya. He was fearless. He would go into the forest and slap tigers in the face and say, chant tigers. He takes snakes on his lap. He was not afraid at all. So this Murari Chaitanya was an extraordinary disciple and of an extraordinary guru. So if you ever come to Mayapur at the end of the year, then we will take you to Mongachi. You can see for yourself. What an amazing place, and pray for mercy and compassion. All right, we thank you very much for being with us in this morning session. I want to thank Atul very much for taking us to Bangladesh and sharing in a very short time something very unique, because Atul has actually spent a lot of time in Bangladesh and has very much absorbed the Bengali culture. He speaks very good Bengali, better than me. And his wife is also Bengali. So he's deeply absorbed in that particular mood and spirit. And I think in our entire movement, there are a handful of devotees who are in Bangladesh, who are familiar with the Bangladesh Yatra, Bhakti Vikas, Maharaj, and others. But he's one of those few who can really reveal that to us. So this is special. That's why I took advantage of the opportunity with the conspiracy to somehow milk this information out of him. I want to milk a little more than it has started. So that was very nice. So take a break and please come back at 3 o'clock if possible, and we'll carry on and go deeper into the unfolding of the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krishna.